Let me share with you a couple of different Haggadot. We'll see where we go off. We'll see how far we get. If we get everyone fall asleep, if it gets too boring, we'll just stop.
No, it's not that. It's the lack of coffee.
The lack of, there's no coffee at all?
Downstairs, you can buy coffee for 55 cents. But it's senior center.
So you want to go get coffee, or should everyone get coffee?
We'll plow through.
Okay, we'll see what happens. All right, I want to go back and review. I want to go back to this, what we concluded with yesterday. Yesterday we discussed the bracha. When you make the bracha on the matzah, there are two brachas. There's a matzah, first bracha on motzi lechem min aretz, and the second bracha was asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah tzvanu al achilas matzah. So we discussed yesterday on which matzah are you making hamotzi lechem min aretz, and on which matzah are you making the bracha of al achilas matzah. So we had two different opinions. Simply, you make the bracha of hamotzi on the shalem, and the bracha on al-chilas matzah is on the prusa, is on the middle matzah. So I just wanted to connect this to something very interesting in the piyut of Shabbos HaGadol. The Yotzer. The Yotzer on Shabbos HaGadol, there are a few of them, but one of the Yotzerites is a beautiful Yotzer where it describes in detail the Seder Hayoim. It describes the preparations for Pesach, Erev Pesach, the night of Pesach, and it goes through the entire Haggadah, all the different things you do during the Haggadah. And every line is poetic, and every line is jam-packed with Chiddush. Because, as we know, there are so many different customs, so many different minhagim and halachos as to how to conduct the Seder. And when you read between the lines in the piyut, you discover things which may be a bit surprising. So one thing I want to dwell on is what it says about yachatz. Yachatz, let me just try to find it. Erev Pesach samach leminchas rishon. Okay, lo yoichal odom ad ha'isha. Okay, it says, Erev Pesach, you may not eat matzah. And when you come from the base rachashon, isn't that an interesting expression from the base hatfilah, from the base hakneses? It's called the place where you murmur. The place where you murmur is called the base hatfilah. Moizgin loy kois rishon. Okay, I'm going to jump ahead. Okay, it talks about karpas. It is very bizarre. It's the yitbol bacharoses, that the karpas is dipped in charoses. We don't do that. We dip the karpas in salt water. In charoses? Okay, could be. So there's a lot of vivorech, you make a bracha, boire pri ho adama. That's also important to note. I'll explain that in a moment. Now, here's the point I want to focus on, which ties into what we said yesterday, and also ties into what we spoke about 2 days ago with regard to, well, yesterday was Monday, but last week we said to yachatz. The chad ochel, and when you eat, which really is not time of eating, when you're not up to eating yet. You have to first say the Haggadah before you eat. Yechetze achas misholosh matzos. You break one of the three matzos. Notice that the Paiton does not tell us which one. Is it the middle? Because indeed there are opinions that say, what? When you eat it. From the Rambam it's mashma, right? So you're touching upon something very important. From the Rambam it's mashma, yachatz is done before moitzi matzah. The seder, the simonim, are not according to the Rambam. Kadesh, orchatz, karpas, according to the Rambam, there's no, after karpas, there is no yachatz. After karpas comes magid.
That's why the kids don't like the Rambam.
Because there's nothing to steal. Nothing to steal. First comes magid, then comes rochtza, and then comes yachatz. And then comes motzi matzah. That's what's mashma in the Rambam. The Rambam does not mention the simonim. The simonim came after the Rambam, or maybe the same time as the Rambam, by Rashi, others. The Rambam does not mention the simonim. The Rambam it's mashma that yachatz takes place right before you eat the matzah, before motzi matzah. I did see a beautiful write-up on this topic, where the mechaber of this, the person who wrote this article, he's medayik, he takes apart the Rambam back and forth, and he tries to prove that the Rambam holds that there is a double yachatz. The Rambam is also mashman, there's a yachatz in the beginning. I don't remember all the details, you have to look on the details. There's a yachatz like what we do, and then when it comes to achilas matzah, there's a second yachatz. which is, I guess, on the Sholem. You have the Yachatz, the Prusa, and then there's two Shlemim, right? There are two Shlemim.
Not according to the Rambam.
According to only one Shalim, according to the Rambam. So the other Shalim has to also be broken right before you do the Motzi Matzah.
Well, you can do that anyway.
No, but normally you first make a bracha. Normally you make the bracha on the Shalim, and then you break the Matzah. It's Mash, the Rambam, that no, first you break the Matzah, and then you make the bracha. So there is a possibility, something interesting to keep in mind, that you do Yachatz, who says Yachatz, that what we do is in the correct location. According to Rambam, it's mashma, the yachatz is done before the bracha of motzi matzah, and perhaps according to the Rambam, there is a double yachatz. Okay, in any event, look what it says over here in the piyut. The piyut over here says, v'chad ochel yachatzah, when you eat, you break, achas mishalosh matzahs, v'ein bracha ima, and there is no bracha recited with it. What does that mean exactly? Now let's go further. Mechza b'ka'ara, Umechza b'shulchan lehasima, half of the matzah remains on the ka'ara. Mm-hmm. That's also a chiddush because we don't typically put the matzah in the ka'ara. The ka'ara,
under the
ka'ara. But here it's mashma on the ka'ara. Everything about the piyot, I mean, is jam-packed with chiddush. We don't put the matzah on the ka'ara. The ka'ara is for the four/six items, not the matzah. Matzah is separate. Many people, they have one kara on the table for the whole family, and every individual family gets their own three matzos. The matzos are not much, they're not tied to the kara. But you put the one remains on, one half of it goes on the kara, umechza b'shulchan lehasima, and the other half goes on the table. I thought you're supposed to take it away. You put it on the table for the children to take away? For the children to take away iron. Then he goes on.
What does the Hosima mean? I didn't know
to set it there. To set it on the table. It's seemingly you put it on the table, and I guess at some point the children come along, they take it off the table, and they go and put it in hiding. It doesn't say. It's all it says here. Half goes in the Ka'ara, half goes in the Shulchan Lehosima. Next. Moishech Miakara Shnei Tav Shile Deinun Bisra V'Chavra Tzilile. You then take, you draw from the Ka'ara two roasted items. Which is meat, and chavra is fish, right? Fish, roasted fish. Inami, garma ubishule, a bone, and something that's cooked. Umagbia ka'ara v'leimo hol lachma anya. You pick up, now those, I guess those two things refer to the karma zecha, for the karma pesach, karma chagiga. I'm not really sure what he means, let's leave that. But then he says, then you go on, you pick up the ka'ara, V'leima ho lachma anya kule. And then you say ho lachma anya kule.
You're picking up the kara and you're saying ho lachma.
That's what it says. You pick up the kara and you say, you pick it up and you say ho lachma. And then it goes on to say, Umoizgin loy koysheni me'arbas hokel. V'chan habein me'oviv shoyel. Now, so I'm not prepared to go into details. I don't know what all of these things mean, the deeper meaning. The only thing I want to point out is Yachatz in the Piyut is before the Manishtana. It's explicit. When you look at the Piyut, even though there is it's jam-packed with Chiddush, it's one thing as clear as day, is that first we have Yachatz, and then we have the Manishtana, we have Magid. Now, once we are absolutely certain that Yachatz is taking place before the Manishtana, before Haggadah, we have to revisit this line. V'chad ochel, when you eat, yechetze achas mishalosh matzos, you break one of three matzos, v'ein brocha ima, and there is no brocha with it. Now, what in the world does that mean? What do you mean there's no brocha? You're not eating the matzos. Oh, that's a very chiddush. I want to say that in Echanami. So the Pefarshim, no one says that, what you just said. I want to say that in a moment. But the Mefarshim, they really struggle with this line, and it touches upon what we discussed yesterday. Yesterday we discussed that you make, when you eat the matzah, you make two brachas. You make the bracha of Hamaytzi Lecha Min Haaretz, and you make the bracha of Al Achilas Matzah. When it says here, V'ein Baracha Ima, you're breaking a matzah, and the matzah that you break later when you eat is not going to get the bracha. The bracha is not going to be upon that matzah. So it could simply mean, like we learned from the Levush, is that the special bracha that we're referring to is the bracha of al achilas matzah. But being that we've taken a matzah, we've broken it, we've made it into a prusa, this prusa is not going to get the bracha of al achilas matzah. When you're going to make the special bracha later in the Su'udah, Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'tzvanu al achilas matzah, that can only go on a sholem, hiddur mitzvah. You can't go make a bracha of al achilas matzah on a broken piece. So now that you've broken this matzah, you have sacrificed your ability to make the bracha of al achilas matzah. Or maybe what it means to say is just the opposite. The ain bracha ima, now that I've broken this matzah is not going to be part of the bracha of hamaytzi lecha min ha'aretz, because, what?
You lost the bracha.
But this matzah will now be the bracha, the one that you make of al achilas matzah. The bracha that you normally make on bread of hamaytzi lecha min ha'aretz is not going to be applied to it, because it's now a broken piece, so we have to apply to it the special bracha of achilas matzah, and the bracha of hamaytzi will not be applied to this matzah. So in other words, you can really play with this nusach. One thing you see here is that when you do yachatz, you're creating a prusa, and because you're creating a prusa, it's not going to get a bracha. Which bracha is it not going to get? That was the issue we discussed yesterday. Because when you do make the two brachos, you have in front of you shleimim, and you have a prusa, what is your kavana? Upon which one of the matzos is your kavana of hamaytzi, and upon which one of the matzos is your kavana of al achilas matzah? Rav Nechemia said, something which I wanted to say is, why indeed do we not make a bracha when we do yachatz? Yachatz a mitzvah, Chazal told us, lechem oini, lechem sh'oinin dvarm harbe, mar darko sh'oni beprusa, you have to fashion, you have to make a broken matzah. It's part of the Haggadah. So l'cha'ira, it wouldn't be so far-fetched to say, you should make a bracha asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah v'tzivanu al shviras, al, I don't know how you formulate the nusach, on the breaking of the matzah. So along comes the yoitzer and says, no, you're right, it's a good havamina, but the bottom line is, you don't make a bracha when you do yachatz. So now the question is, Taka, why not? Why don't you do this? So just two things come to mind. One thing is, I mean, Dvarm Pshutim Ad Ma'oid, but sometimes people are so foolish, you have to remind them of Dvarm Pshutim. There's no mitzvah to be poor. If a person has an opportunity, if you have an opportunity to make a parnasa, opportunity to get educated and to do something and have some skills, and you deliberately say, no, I want to be poor. I want to be a dependent. I want to be in trouble. Unfortunately, there are people out there that have this mentality. It's a corrupt approach to life. When you break the matzah, what are you doing? You are creating poverty. When the matzah is sholei, that's not the shlemus of lechem oini. Ma dargoy shel oni biprusa. Dargoy shel oni is to eat a broken piece of bread. I'm now about to make poverty, to create poverty. Don't make a bracha on this. There's no mitzvah to be poor. If Rachmanu Litzlan, it's forced upon a person, so what can he do? Ki lo yechdal evyon mikarev ha'aretz. The Torah says it's such a thing. But to go make a bracha, kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu, this is something which is a mentality that you have to completely remove. A person's mechuyev to everything that's possibly can to be as successful and as wealthy as he can. And don't worry about all the Musas farm of what it says, all the mindless of being poor. That's not for a common man. The goal is, don't be poor. You don't make a bracha when you do yachatz. Another idea that comes to mind is, when you break the matzah, it's an act of, like I told you from Rabelski, it's an act of destruction. Mm-hmm. In Yadus, you don't make brachas on destructive mitzvahs. When you burn the chametz, you don't make a bracha on beer. The bracha you make was on the searching for the chametz, which leads into the burning of the chametz. There's a whole question. It's a strange thing. You make a bracha al beer chametz, but so make the bracha when you burn the chametz. Why are you making the bracha when you do a search for the chametz? Well, it's totally zeh bezeh. But you don't mamish make the bracha when you burn the chametz, because that's not the right tone. You don't make a bracha on something of destruction. That's not the Jewish way. It's not the mahalach. When you take matzah, you do a destructive act to break as Rabbi Belsky explains, it's an act of frustration. It's the same old bread from last year. Nothing has changed. We're still in Galus. There is no place to make a bracha. Those are just two ideas.
Because you make on Gemara mitzvah. Gemara mitzvah is the beer chametz. That's the real reason.
Right. So then make the bracha. So make the bracha when you burn the chametz, because that's beer means to burn, to destroy. Okay, it's a delicate question. Yeah. Why the bracha of the bedika? It's made by the bedika, but you don't say live like a chametz. Chazal told you to do a bedika. It's a mitzvah. So just get to it. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah sanu al bedika chametz.
Yeah, but if you want to say that it has to do with the Gemara Mitzvah, so therefore that could be a reason why you don't make a bracha for Yachatz, because you're not eating the matzah yet, you're eating it later. So that's when you make the bracha, Achilas Matzah.
No, but there's another din. Besides eating, there's a din of breaking the matzah. There's a special mitzvah to break the matzah. Hmm. You should make a special bracha on the breaking of the matzah.
That's not a mitzvah in the Torah, that's not
a... So all mitzvahs on the Mitzvah Torah. The Dal Kaisa in the Torah? Karpa, what about Marv's Minat Torah? Marv's Minat is only Midrabanon. A lot of the mitzvahs, there's a mitzvah to do Yachatz, so let's, Bedik is not Minat Torah. So there's a mitzvah, every mitzvah Midrabanon, there's a bracha, and there should be a bracha to break the matzah. That's what the Paitan says in the Navi, Einim HaBracha. Let's not get carried away here. There's a minog, there's a halacha to break the matzah, to make lechem oini, but you do not make a bracha. And we have to think about it. What's the deep meaning behind this? Okay, let me go to another idea which just comes to mind, just running around different ideas.
Another one of the numerous paradoxes of the Seder.
Right.
To create poverty, as you said, and at the same time...
Scherus. And you're creating the poverty.
Yachatz. Yachatz
is a creation of poverty. It's not just poverty, you're creating poverty. It's a very disturbing idea. Okay, let's go to another idea. Let's talk about Maror for a moment. Okay, I'm jumping around. Maror. What bracha do we make on Maror? Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah v'mitzvah al achilas Maror. What about a Borei Pri Adama? Borei Pri Adama? No, you don't make a Borei Pri Adama because the bracha of Maror overpowers. It's a very difficult question. When it comes to matzah, we make really two brachas. Hamotzi lechem in aretz, and we make al achilas matzah, even though we know that you're making each bracha on a separate matzah, but soif kol soif, matzah
itself,
is matzah.
Hamotzi is already covered then.
And the
mitzvah of doing something with
a vegetable, not necessarily. If you have something that's brought to the meal that's not from part of the meal, you make a separate bracha, a dessert.
So you know it is because that's the setup.
No, it's a mitzvah. It's not a course.
It's a question of whether it's customary other meals.
The bracha of hamotzi lechem in aretz does not really cover the bracha bari pri adam on maror, because maror is not part of the meal. Maror is independent of the meal. It's a mitzvah. It's something you would ordinarily not serve in your meal. You would be required to make its own separate bracha, just like you make a bracha on dessert. Dessert is not part of the meal. The meal is over. This dessert, you're supposed to make a bracha. Any shahakal, hadama, ha'etz, you make a bracha for dessert. Mizoinais, it's machlekes ha'paiskim. Rav Moshe says you don't, but many paiskim say even when it comes to mizoinais, you also make a mizoinais for dessert. So appetizers, but not more. So this, I'm not coming to address why we don't make a Borei Pri Adama. It's difficult, but the Borei Pri Adama, to some degree, as you all know, is made when we eat karpas, right? When we eat karpas, why do we have karpas? So there are many reasons. The primary reason of eating karpas is in order to arouse the curiosity of the child. But a secondary reason of eating karpas is an opportunity to make a Borei Pri Adama, and that Borei Pri Adama will be chal, will also go for the maror that you're going to eat later on. You'll ask, it's more than 72 minutes. So Ein Achinami, so Mefarshim, they deal with this. They want to suggest that the only time there's a shiur of equal is only when you eat Lidvar Rishus. When you eat Gesundheit, Lidvar Mitzvah, when you eat the food Lidvar Mitzvah, there is no such Zman of equal that cancels your bracha. So since eating the Maror l'shem mitzvah, the karpas is l'shem mitzvah, the Borei Pri Adama that you make on the karpas is also chal on the Maror, even though it's more than 72 minutes later, if that happens to be the case. By the way, in Achanami, there were G'dayla Yisrael that did make a Borei Nefashos. They did make a Borei Nefashos after they ate the karpas, they ate a shear, and they made a Borei Nefashos because there's...
Well,
What? Oh no. Oh, okay. I don't know. I didn't hear that. And even to make an ala gefen, the gedolei yisrael that made ala gefen, they drank the first kus of yayin. I saw this in the Haggadahs. They make the first kus of yayin, and they know it's going to be 72 minutes until they're going to get to the end of the Haggadah, until they make the drink the second kus. So they made right away an ala gefen. Right away, you make kiddush, you make an ala gefen before you continue the Haggadah, because it's going to be a very long break until you get to the next. Eilu, everything has the makar as a minute, but that's obviously not our custom. Now, here's the chish I came across yesterday. What is karpas? Karpas is, everything I'm telling you now is all pilpul and drush. This is not halacha. But what bracha do you make? What do we eat for karpas? So many of us use celery, use endives, I don't know, a vegetable. You take a vegetable. Now, there used to be a minhag to eat a potato. Why? Now, many claim potato was eaten because they didn't have vegetables in Poland. There was a scarcity. What? Onions. There was a scarcity of vegetables and onions, of leafy vegetables. The best you can possibly do is have some maror, some lettuce, or endives. So that will be a maror. So what are you going to use? So the next best thing you can have to have a borei pre-huadama is a potato. So the problem is, if you look in the Paiskim, it's not even so clear what bracha you make on a potato. Many Paiskim hold you make on a potato a shahako, believe it or not. Okay, I'm sure you've heard this at some point in time. You make a shahako on a potato.
That's what happened with the onion.
Also shahako. Now, believe it or not, there are some Paiskim that say that bedavka, that the adarabah, the bracha is not ha'adama. When you have karpas, you should eat something upon which you're going to make a shahako, not a borei pre-hodama, and a potato may very well be a good candidate if you follow the opinions that hold that a potato does not fit into the rules of hodama, it fits into the rules of shahako. Now, put that aside for one moment. What bracha, let us say you would make a bracha, let's say lu yitzuya, Chazal would tell you, moror, we want you to make two brachas, just like on matzah we make Hamaytzi lechem in aretz, and we make al achilas matzah. Let's say make brief chazal to want you to make two brachas on maror. So you would say, what would be the two brachas? Hadama, bari pri hadama, and then al achilas maror.
Yeah.
Many poskim say that's not correct. Maror, if you're having real maror, that's really bitter, real bitter romaine lettuce, the real deal. When it's sitting in the ground, you don't make hadama. It's too bitter. It's not edible. What bracha do you make? Shahako. If you're eating chorein, what bracha should you really make?
You make shahako, you make no bracha.
We make no bracha. We make halacha l'maisa, we make no bracha. But if you're being net, if you have pleasure, let's say you do have some pleasure on chorein, you have some pleasure. So what bracha do you, every time a person has pleasure, you have to make a bracha. So what bracha would you make? If you would make a bracha, you would make a shahako. So look at this. Just like we have been trained that we eat karpas and we eat a vegetable to make a borei pre-hadama, to exempt the maror that we should really make the borei pre-hadama, there's an approach that you should make on karpas a shahakol, in order to exempt the maror which you should really be making a shahakol. If I'm eating a bitter herb for my maror, I don't make hadama on bitter herbs. It's too bitter to eat. So I'm having a little pleasure, so I make a shahakol. So why don't you make a shahakol? Take a good kasha. So you know, eat karpas. And when you make a shahakol on the karpas, the shahakol on the karpas will exempt the shahakol on the maror. Just like what we do when we make a borei pre-adama on our karpas to exempt the borei pre-adama that we think we should make when we make the maror. Now, there's a lot of depth in that. What? Same thing. Exactly the same thing. Whatever you would do when you either make a borei pre-adama, pachas mekazayis, you make the bracha. The bracha's purpose is to exempt when you eat later on. You make a shahakol on the karpas in order to exempt the shahakol on the maror. Now, if that would be true, and there are probably rishonim, you'll find shittas that say that's the way it should be done, there adds an entirely new dimension to maror. What do I mean? I once heard a shir. Person says that many times when you take medicines, before you take the medicine or with the medicine, you have to drink water. Right. You have to drink water. Either you drink the water before or after or together. There's a shaila. Do you make a shahakol when you drink water, not when you're not deriving any benefit? So basically, no. If you just drink water to push the food down, to swallow it, you don't make a bracha. But you have to ask a person that has to make an honest assessment. I may be a little thirsty. No, I'm a little thirsty. I wouldn't mind having a cup of water. Just so happens that I'm having medicine, so I'm going to have a cup of water and the medicine. there's a shaila. The best solution would be that it should be flavored. Once it's flavored, even if you're not thirsty, then you have no choice. You have to make a shakal. So I once heard from a speaker, and he says he was not well, and the doctor always used to tell him over and over, when you take the medicine, before you take the medicine, you have to drink a lot of water. Even the medicine is not good for your body, and you have to flush out, you have to drink a lot of water, so therefore before you begin, you have to drink down a bottle of water, v'chulu v'chulu. So he sat down, and he was very upset that he was sick. He was out of work, this and that, and it bothered him very, very much. He took the cup of water according to doctor's orders before he had the medicine, and he says, "Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, shehakol nihiyeh bidvaro." And he said, "Wow, this bracha now has taken upon a whole new meaning. Normally, you make a shakal, shehakol nihiyeh bidvaro. I'm only drinking this water because I have to drink the medicine, and I flavored the water, so there shouldn't be any shaila on it. But now, when I'm making the shehakol, I'm making the shahakol on the makir that I need to take medicine. It's mehashem yotzah hadavar. It's Hashem. Same way Hashem gives bracha. Hashem sometimes gives us a reminder by requiring us to take medicine. Every difficulty in this world shehakol, every situation, nihiyeh, came about bidvaro. It's not an accident that I have to take medicine, I have to be in a state of uncomfort. What is maror? Maror is the ultimate medicine. Bitter. What would really be the ideal bracha to make for maror? Not achilas maror. Achilas maror doesn't tell you anything. In fact, it's a very big question. How do you even know that maror is bitter? The Torah does not say anywhere the reason for eating maror. All it says is, al matzos umirorim yochluhu. What does that mean? When it comes to matzah, there are multiple psukim. Ki b'chipozon yotzasen in Mitzrayim, b'lechem oini. There are multiple psukim that tell us why we eat matzah. There are numerous psukim that tell us why we eat the Korban Pesach. Fasachti ala Pesach, v'chulu v'chulu. When it comes to maror, the Torah doesn't say one word. Chazal come along, we have a tradition. Maror represents bitterness, represents the shibud, the oini, the suffering in Mitzrayim. What would be the perfect bracha to make for maror? Shehakol nihiyeh bidvaro. Everything that came into this world came about because Hashem so decreed it to be. If we were in Mitzrayim, we suffered. So in Mela, it's very clever. Do we make shakol niya bidvaro? No. Why? Because we're already making a bracha of alachilas maror. But it really is a better bracha to make. So Chazal cleverly engineered that we should make that bracha shahakol on the maror by eating karpas, according to the opinion that says that a karpas should be something upon which you make a shahakol, and that shahakol is really just coming to exempt the maror. So when you're making a bracha shahakol on the karpas, you're having kavana, taka, the maror is coming up, and you have to be makir. Even the maror is shahakol nihiyeh bidvaro. Following? The same way this Rav explained, that when he take medicine, the doctor told him, you have to drink before you take the medicine. And he said, it hit me, that when I'm making the shahakol, I'm making a shahakol on my illness, on the medicine, on the makir. Hashem brought this upon me for a reason. Shahakol niyeh bidvaro. That's exactly what we do. We don't do halacha lemaisa, because we make a hadama instead of making a shahakol. But that's not so silly. Why we should be making, why are we making a hadama? But it's the same concept is there in the Dhamma. Now, I want to take the same exact parallel. I want to just apply it in a different dimension. Why do we dip? The first thing we do in the Haggadah is we dip the vegetable in the salt water. Okay, and when we dip the vegetable in the salt water, we have a minute that we don't do the whole year round. And we wash kadesh urchatz. Since when did you wash when you dip a food in a liquid? It's unheard of. When you dip a Danish in coffee, do you wash netilas yadayim? Well, in Shulchan Aruch it says you should, but then the Shulchan Aruch goes on to say that Bizman has said we don't do this. We're not. The night of Pesach, all of a sudden, we're all on a very high madrigal. We wash. All the Farshim asks, why Pesach Ma Nishtana Halayla Zenikol HaLeilos? Why should this be different? Okay, so Chaya Madrega, when is it? Many, many answers. But I think there's something deeper. When you are eating your karpas, you are preparing for the morrow. That's clear as day. Because you make Hadama. Okay, we're going back to the classic. You make the Hadama. When you're beginning the karpas, you're already thinking about the morrow. What do you do with the morrow? You dip the moror in charoses. What is the most important ingredient in charoses? Apples, tapuchim. That is the most important ingredient. Why the tapuchim? Tachas ha-tapuach oirar ticha. Under the tapuach I have aroused you. It represents the story in Rashi where the women came and they went out to their husbands in the field. The husbands were depressed. They were downcast. They were suffering, and they came out all dressed up in beautiful clothing and all made up, and they came with mirrors and food and fish, and they presented their husband with some snacks, and they looked in the mirror, they took a selfie, and they said to them, look, me and you, look what you got here. You got such a beautiful wife. You don't deserve such a beautiful wife. And one thing led to another, and they conceived and they had children. Tachas hatapuch araticha. What became of those mirrors? Those mirrors were donated to the Beis HaMikdash to be used for the Kiyar. Moshe Rabbeinu initially wanted to reject these mirrors. He felt that it's not kedai to bring these mirrors into the Beis HaMikdash, the Makom of Kedusha, which was used for the Yetzirah. Hashem said, Adrabba v'Adrabba, these mirrors are more chav to me than everything else because it was through these mirrors I established Samach Perech. By the way, through these mirrors I established 600,000 people. By the way, Karpas is Samach Perech. So look at that. When you're dealing with Moror is dipped in the Charoses. The Charoses is a remez for Tachas HaTapuach Orartich. When do you begin to be Nechin for the Moror? Karpas. Haloi Dovar, Karpas, the only place in the Haggadah where there's a remez to the Shishim Riboy of Klal Yisrael, Karpas Oisio Samach Perech. And it's for that reason we wash. If we're already now beginning to be mechin for the morar, which is going to be dipped in the charoses, and the charoses is a remes, what the tapuach, where was the tapuach in the Beis HaMikdash? It was the mirrors, which were used for the kiyar, and the kiyar is used for washing. So, the whole year round we don't wash. But now when we're about to make a bori pre-hoadama, which is going to be the Hadamah for the Morar, we're already in the process, and the Morar is going to be dipped in the Charoses, which is Merames on the Samach Perech of Klal Yisrael, the Samach Klal Yisrael, which made its way into the Mishkan as a Dover Chaviv. Hashem overrode Moshe. Torah Laba Shemaim Hi. But this is an exception. Moshe said, we're not taking this. How come Hashem won? Moshe is right. Right? Moshe says, you're going to bring a smartphone into the Beis HaMikdash? You're going to bring a smartphone? Hashem says, yeah, it was through the smartphones they were able to do whatever, to accomplish what they did. So bring it into the Beis HaMikdash. And it was used for washing. So I want to suggest that is why you bedafka wash when you eat the karpas, because this already is, and that's because karpas, the samach, the only remnants of the shishim, it's the hachone to the moror. Oh, moror, the tapuach, the kiyar. Hashem said to Moshe, it's more chaviv to me than everything else. We have to wash to remind ourselves of this entire process. Okay, I know it's a little bit wild, but I wouldn't tell you if I didn't think there's a kernel of truth. There's something over there. Okay, let's go to another idea. Morar. Morar is a very delicate matter. Morar, as we say, we don't make, the Torah does not give a reason for the morar. The bracha, we don't make a bori prihadama on the morar. I think there's one thing that comes out of morar. Morar is something you don't dwell on. Bitterness is something, it's there, but it's not something you focus on. If you focus too much on the bitterness, you're looking for trouble. Therefore, we don't make the Bori Pri Hadama, okay, and we all right. leave with that. I'm not really clear on that. Okay, another quick, very short idea. We dip the mara in the charoises. The charoises ramis on the tapuach. The tapuach represents the children. So this is something which is very poshut, is that no matter how bad life is, you can brush off all of your tzaras, all the difficulties, by just focusing on the nachas you have from your children. Okay, I've heard it over and over. I remember once my father had a balabas. It was very, very bitter. Very bitter, very, very... And my father would talk to him often, and my father always told him, and he always accepted this, he always gave him the chum. He even told this to me. He came back and he told this to me, is that you have children. You have nachas from your children. Not the nachas you really want, but you have something. You have something in this world. And it's there. And that nachas of having children is a koyach that can take away any poison, any bitterness you have in this world. We dip the maror in charois because in the maror there's a concern, there's a chashash of bitterness. There's some poison, there's eres. In order to an antidote to the bitterness, to the poison, you dip the maror in the charoises. What's the charoises? The tapuach. What's tapuach? Tachas hatapuach arartika. It's a mushel for life. Any struggle or difficulty you have can dissipate, can be put aside by recognizing you have a bracha, you have children, and the children is something which you leave over in this world. They are your legacy, and that can take away from you any tsar that is accompanied with the mara. Okay, next short idea. There's a very good question. The night of Pesach is a night of Lel Shimurim. You don't have to say the entire Kriya Shema Lamita. Some people leave the doors open. They don't lock the doors. It's not a good idea today, obviously. But it's a Lel Shimurim Shama Min HaMazikim. The entire year round, if a person eats lettuce, is there a halacha that you're required to dip your lettuce in Chareses? You never heard of such a thing. You never heard of a person being required to take your lettuce and dip it in Chareses. The only time Chazal was super concerned that you should not be poisoned by the lettuce is the night of Pesach. There might be some poison, so dip the maror in the charoises as an antidote to the poison.
And that contradicts Lel Shimurim.
Especially since you don't find such an obligation the entire year round. So you'll answer simply, well, the whole year round, it's yechidim, not everyone eats lettuce. Since Chazal are enacting, you have to eat maror, so they have to be responsible and they have to enact that they are safeguards. Okay, but still in all, it's Lel Shimurim. Why should Chazal violate the principle of Shimurim by demanding we go overboard and dip the maror in charoses? So the answer is because when it comes to maror, there are mazikim, even the night of Pesach. This is a powerful lesson. When it comes to the matzah and the Pesach and the cheros and the haggadah, ein ochinami. But when a person puts himself into a matzav of moror, of bitterness, of tsar, all of the segulas, all of the shmira, it's not going to help you. It just it's not, shmira is not automatic. You want to be zoicha to shmira, you have to connect yourself to the skulais, to the mitzvahs, which bring with them shmirah. Now, the whole year round, you can't rely on miracles. The whole year round, you know, you can eat all the matzah you want. The whole year round, you can do all the mitzvahs you want. Chazal says, shem mitzvah lo yidah davar ra. But there's a limit. The night of Pesach is a lel shimurim. But it's not automatic. It's a lel shimurim when you connect yourself to chirus. You connect yourself to Hashem, to the matzah, to the ayin, to all of the things which go along with chirus. But when a person has to go into the dark side and dwell upon bitterness, reflect upon tsar, you know, it's not so simple. It's taka lel shimurim, but you have to take precautions. You have to dip the maror in charoses. Halachic shaila, do you have to eat a kazayis of maror? It's a very big question. There are really two reasons for the maror. One time for the maror is the poison. It's the antidote to the poison, the charoses. Do you need to eat a kezayis of charoses? Number two, why don't we make a bracha on the charoses? Asher kedushan b'mitzvayse v'tzimanu al achilas charoises. No, but it's a special in. Just like you have matzah mor, one is not bottled mitzvahs and not potatoes. One mitzvah is not mevatel the other mitzvah. You dip the mor in the charoises, but the charoises is a special halacha, has to have certain ingredients. It has to have apples, it's supposed to have some red wine to make it look red, to remember the blood. It's supposed to have certain types of spices, which make it look like tevin straw, to zecher for the tit. Charoises is a very complex creature.
Obviously, we don't load up on the charoises.
So that's a machlekes. So we halacha l'maisa, of course, we do not make a brach on the charoises. And halacha l'maisa, what? We shake it off. But even though you shake it off, or maybe you should still leave over, you shake off two kezaisim, but you have to still leave over one kezais. You dip it in two kezaisim, but you leave over one kezais.
You said kezais is mara you need, right?
That for sure you need.
That's why people can't eat straight mara. They take the romaine lettuce, because that's something you can
eat. Romaine lettuce is regular mara. Adorab, romaine lettuce is the best mara.
I don't see too many people eating carrot or mara.
What?
I don't see people... start eating mara like that. It's not easy.
Mara is lettuce. What's the problem? Who says horseradish? That's not the ideal mara. Horseradish is not the ideal mara. Horseradish is the b'dieved. And you can't find bug-free lettuce,
but
you need the horseradish.
Romaine lettuce is really not bitter.
Right. No, mara
is bitter.
No. We discussed this. No. Mara is not supposed to be bitter. Mara means that if you let the lettuce remain in the ground for a prolonged period of time, it will turn bitter. But when you harvest it before it reaches that state, so it's sweet. Absolutely.
Right.
You don't. So mara is not bitter. No. Mara does not have to be bitter. No, it should not be bitter. The ideal mara is lettuce,
right.
The romaine lettuce, which is not bitter. It may have a tinge of bitterness, but it's not actually bitter. And yidik is ice. The question is why don't we make a bracha on charoises? So I don't have a good answer. Let me think about it. But it is a question.
It's not.
If you're going to make a bracha, you should eat a kezias of charoises. That we don't do either. But this is a topic of discussion. Okay, let's jump ahead. Korech, do you wrap? Let's skip Korech. Do you wrap the moror around the matzah, the matzah around the moror? Do you say the pasuk of Pesach Rishon or Pesach Sheni? Okay, that's a step. Let's go further. Let's leave that. Let's talk about Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch. First thing eaten Shulchan Aruch. What is the first thing that the minhag is to eat in Shulchan Aruch? Some loose eggs. Why do you eat an egg at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch? So there are many reasons. One is Zecher L'Chorban. When you come into the Seder, we really should be in the Beis HaMikdash of Korban Pesach. The fact that we do not have the Korban Pesach is a tzar. Zecher L'Chorban, it is the food of Avelim. Number two, it's a Zecher for the Korban Chagiga. Number three, the first day of Pesach is going to be the same day of the week as Tisha B'Av. Lamayin Afkamin of these three reasons I've given you. Do you eat eggs on the second night of Pesach in Chutz Liaretz? So if it's Zecher for Avelos, a Zecher for the Chagiga, yes, because the second night of Pesach is no different. But if the reason why you eat an egg is because to remind you that Tisha B'Av is coming around the corner, it's going to be the same night of the week, that is not true on the second night of Pesach. So there's no need to eat hard-boiled eggs the first thing on the second night of Pesach. There's another very, very important reason why we eat eggs. It is the yahrzeit of Rav Meir. Whose yahrzeit is Pesach? Whose yahrzeit is Pesach? Some say it's Erev Pesach. Avraham, no, that's the second night. Haman is the second. Haman is the second day of Pesach. In Echanam, the second day of Pesach is the Suda Zechel Esther. In Echanam, Hamantashin. Koshul of Pesach, Hamantashin on the second night of Pesach. But the first night of Pesach is the yard site of Avraham Avinu. Okay, that is the tradition. Or some say he died Erev Pesach. And there's a Zecher for the Petira of Avraham Avinu. The whole night really centers around Avraham Avinu. As I said before, we learned before in Yecheskel, Leman Asher Yitzave Ki Yedativ, Leman Asher Yitzave Ezbon of Acharav Lishmar Derech Hashem. this is the whole mahus of the Seder. It all revolves around Avraham Avinu. He's the Rosh Hamaninim. The Seder is all about Amunah, and it's his yard site. The Mela, as a Zecher for the Avelus of Avraham Avinu, we eat eggs. Now, this Tam would also have an afkamina. We would not need to eat it on the second night of Pesach because it's no longer his yard site. The yard site is only the first night, not the second night. I believe they are, yes.
So that means that Yaakov Avinu didn't hold the Kippiyas
because he served, that's right, it was Erev Pesach, Erev Hanami, right, that's right, that's a very good point. Okay.
That's why he gave it to Esau.
Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, some say an egg is baya in Aramaic, it means to request, baya. The Kan HaBen Shoyel. So it's a reminder that tonight is a night. It's a night when we can request of HaKadosh Baruch Hu our innermost desires. It's an opportunity. The night of Pesach is an opportunity to mevakesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu to mamale kol mishaloseinu l'toiva. Okay, there are other ideas which I'm going to skip over. I want to go to some things which are more significant. Let's see. Okay, very interesting. Do you serve dessert at the Seder?
So that's
the second dessert. But what about serving shiks cakes and who knows what? You have some fruit, some ice cream, some mints. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach was famous for holding, you don't have dessert. At the Seder, at the Shulchan Aruch, go tell this to the hotel, so I'll see what they have to say to you. At the Shulchan Aruch of the Seder, it's not the right thing to have a dessert. You have your gefilte fish, and you have your soup, and you have your chicken. By the way, it's not so similar to dip. Also, there are people that are very machbit, even though during a regular meal you dip, maybe you'll dip your knedelach, you'll dip your matzah into dipping. There are only two dippings. You have to be careful not to say, not everyone, I'm telling you, extreme, for entertainment purposes only. Don't try these things at home. But there are people who are of the opinion that since Chazal enacted two dippings, we dip the karpas in the salt water, we dip the maror in the charoses, that's it. Don't take it upon yourself in the Shulchan Aruch to dip whatever you got in front of you in the soup, in the wine, in whatever you got. There's no dipping. There's no dipping during Shulchan Aruch. And furthermore, there is no dessert. Why not? It's an insult to the Afikoyman. Afikoyman means dessert. Afikoyman means afiku mone. Bring out the Viennese table. Bring out the utensils. The mon means the utensils, or the mon. Afiku mone, mon means dessert, delicious foods, or means utensils which have within them specially prepared desserts. The afikoyman is called afiku mone, bring out the dessert. The afikoyman is the dessert. If Chazal have gone out of their way to define the word afikoyman, to borrow the word afikoyman, which means dessert, and apply it to the afikoyman, it is an insult to Chazal, it is an insult to the Karban Pesach, for which it is a zecher of, to have another dessert. So there's no cake, there's no tea, there is no fruit and vegetables, whatever, ice cream. You have your meal without any dipping, and then the dessert is the matzah, which is the afikam. Now, I'm not telling you, I'm not telling you to try this at home, but it's something to appreciate, which was the custom of Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, and it appears to be something which is very well known. People who do eat dessert at least feel guilty. They feel guilty. Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach would not be doing this, but listen, I'm on his madrega, I need to have my sweets, my cake, and eat it too, even on Pesach. Okay. By the way, when you eat the afikoman, what is the afikoman? A zecher. It's machlokes. Some say the afikoman, it's a zecher for the Karban Pesach, and some say no such thing. There is no zecher. It's a zecher for the matzah that was eaten together with the Karban Pesach, not mamish the Karban Pesach. Okay. Next question. Let's talk about the tanai of the Avnei Nezer. Everyone have heard of the time of the Avnei Nezer. If you're running late, Chatzos is approximately 1 o'clock, 1 a.m. What happens if you have all of your grandchildren and everyone is talking about Hashtana, and there's no way in the world you're going to finish the Haggadah before Chatzais? Before the Afikomen. Halacha l'maaseh l'chatchila was supposed to eat the Afikomen before Chatzais. Why? Being that the Afikomen is a zeche for the Karban Pesach, or the matzah that was eaten with the Karban Pesach, and according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, the Tana, Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, the Karban Pesach can only be eaten until Chatzais, the very limited time to eat the Karban Pesach, between Shkia, between Tzeisach, Koichav, and Chatzais, have only 6 hours to eat the Karban Pesach, so you must eat the Afikomen before Chatzais. Now, by the way, what about Hallel? And what about the whole Haggadah? And you should, by the way, there are people that are makbid on this also. Just like you have to eat the Afikomen before Chatzais, you should really l'chatchila finish the whole Seder before Chatzais. Hallel also before Chatzais. No one does that. No one is makbid on that. Even though people are makbid on this, I'm makbid on this. I'm makbid to be the first one that Eliyahu if he comes to.
What time is Chatzais this year?
About 1 o'clock. It's always 1 o'clock. Well, 1 o'clock. Whatever. 12:07. So you don't need so mach. You can be off by 2%. You can be off by 2%. So it's okay to be a few minutes late. So the question over here is, what happens if you're not going to be able to eat the Afikomen before Chatzais? So can you be samech on the sheet of the Rabbanon who hold? So in Echanami, so man, it's not clear cut whom we paskin like. The Rabbanon hold that you can eat the Karban Pesach until Alei Sashachar, until the morning. Lechatchila we pass like Eveloz ben Azariah, we eat in the Afikomen before Chatzais. So what is this famous Tanai of the Avnei Nezer? What's the reason why after you eat the Afikomen you're not allowed to eat anything else? That's the last thing that you eat. Kidei, so that the tam of the matzah remains in your mouth. How long does the tam of matzah have to remain in your mouth? Until the next Chanukah? Until the next Purim? Until the next Rosh Hashanah? No, until the Zman is over. When is the Zman over? So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the Zman is Chatzais. So if you eat your Afikomen at 10 o'clock, you're in a rush, you want to go to sleep, and you eat your Afikomen at 10 o'clock, you're not allowed to eat anything until 1 o'clock. At 1 o'clock, you can go into the kitchen and sit down and do whatever you want, because the requirement that the tam Afikomen remain in your mouth only lasts until the Zman of the Achilas Afikomen, the Zman bring the Pesach. Okay, so but according to the Rabbanon hold that the Zman Achilas is until the morning, so the last thing you do is the Afikomen, it must remain until the morning. So the Tanai is, 1 minute before Chatzais, or let's say 10 minutes before Chatzais, I'm going to eat the Afikomen. And I'm going to wait. It's Chatzais, let's say, is 1 o'clock. So at 12:45, I'm going to eat. I'm in the middle of my suda. We just started the suda. We just began the suda. We just served the fish. We didn't even eat the fish. We just are up to the fish. I'm immediately going to eat the Afikomen at 12:45, and then we're going to wait 15 minutes until it's 1 o'clock. So for those last 15 minutes, the tam of the Afikomen is going to linger in my mouth. Now it's 1 o'clock. The Zman of Elizabeth Nazaria is over. So now, I no longer have the requirement of having the Tam of Matzah in my mouth. Now we'll go back to eating my Shulchan Aruch, and we'll eat another Afikomen, a second Afikomen, when we finish the Seder, and that Afikomen will linger in my mouth until the morning, like the Sheet of the Rabbana.
Al-Tanai.
If the opinion is like Elizabeth Nazariah, that the Zman is until Chatzais, so I'm eating Afikomen now, and I'm going to wait until Chatzais, and let the Tam linger in my mouth until Chatzais. And if the time is, the halach is not like Elizabeth Nazariah, then when I'm eating now, the matzah is just part of my Shulchan Aruch. It's no significance whatsoever. And I'm going to eat my real Afikomen after I finish my meal. I'm going to eat it later on. I'm going to eat my Afikomen at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Do you have the abrikosis also?
Yes. So, yeah. Well, you can't drink the kosis in advance. You can technically...
That's bottomless of the line.
Right, but those you can eat later. Okay, I didn't think about that. You have to work that out. This is a classic Tanai of the Avnei Nezer. It's attributed to him, even though it's really not from him. There's many other people who have said this before him. It is attributed to him. It says that in Poland, the whole Poland relied upon this. Okay, there were millions of Jews. What?
You said how much is the shear you have to eat?
Whatever the shear is. Afikomen, two kizasim. Some whole for Afikomen, you should two kizasim. One is Zechar. Zechar, why Tuk Zeisim? I think
is one in a matzah.
No, no. Tuk Zeisim is 3/4 of a matzah. The most 3/4 of a matzah. That's right. People, it's right. It is a lot. Okay, so this is now the question is this Avinezer something which is ideal? So the truth is, many people, it says that in Poland everyone did this. It was very common to make use of the Avinezer. I know people that tell me they're not concerned with this whatsoever. They don't follow the shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. A lot of people have this attitude. Is they just go on and they finish whenever they finish. They finish 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and then the afikomen. They don't do this whole shtick of eating it before chatzos or the tanai. They soimech lichatchila on the shita of the chachamim, who is the shita of the rabbim. The rabbim is that the zman achilas pesach is to alisa shachar. There's nothing to think about. Have your seder, enjoy the seder, and eat the afikomen when you get up to the afikomen. When the seder is over, you won't eat until the following morning. There are many people today that have that attitude, and they don't even think about Elizabeth Nazariah. Then there are people that indeed make this tonight, and then there are people who, Adarama, they're very machbid on Elizabeth Nazariah, they're very machbid to finish the afikomen before chatzos. Many people, it's easy to do. Before chatzos, you have the afikomen. And the question is the Tanai of the Avinezer something ideally to use? So it's controversial because it's not really a way you do a mitzvah. The mitzvah of achilas matzah, gzeichel l'karim pesach, to do a mitzvah, and the whole mitzvah is a lundus. It's a legal loophole. It's created if the halacha is an azariah, I'm eating it l'shem matzah. If the halacha is not like an azariah, this is just food. Is that how you do a mitzvah? It's a very weak approach to doing a mitzvah. For example, Techeles. I think classic example. Why is it that most of Klal Yisrael does not wear Techeles, Birks? Today they claim that they know what Techeles is. They're really very confident that we know what Techeles is. So why don't we use Techeles? There are many answers. But one of the common answers is that we don't know for sure. Maybe it's 90%. But it's not 100%. It's not the way you do a mitzvah. The way you do a mitzvah is with certainty. You have to be, this is the mitzvah. You want to put it on occasionally, fine. But to be, it should be a dover that is kavua for generations, for 2,000 years, we didn't have tchelis. All of a sudden now we think we know what tchelis is. We're 90% sure we know what it is. But even the biggest mumchim, the biggest experts are going to admit that there are problems. There are mamori chazal that don't work, that don't fit, and there are problems. So there is a possibility, a very small possibility, that it's not tcheles. So to demand of the entire klal yisrael with a regilus that every single day, every single pair of tzitzit should have on it tcheles, the murix, that's not how you do a mitzvah. A mitzvah has to be done with clarity, with absoluteness. Is that how you do the mitzvah? The only mitzvah deraisa of eating is matzah. There's no other mitzvah. Latkes are not deraisa. Donuts are not deraisa. Dipping the apple in the honey is not deraisa. The only achila deraisa is achilas matzah. And you want to go say now, and the afikomen is an extension of that mitzvah. It's an extension. It's not the achilas matzah. It's an extension of that. So you want to stop playing games. If the lachzul of Nazaria, matzah. It's not matzah. And then I'm going to wait, and then in the morning I'm going to look. This is not how you do a mitzvah. It's not a game. Mitzvahs are not games that you play. They're something which you take very seriously. So either you eat before chatzos, period, or you follow the rabbanon and you eat before alayis hashachar. To start playing games, it takes away what the chavivas and mitzvahs are all about. Some people are sensitive to what I just told you, and some people, they say just the opposite. Torah, it's a delight, it's a joy, Shashua. They say, no, other Abba, to make these conditions, this is part of the Chiv HaTorah, and you should do it.
They live with longness.
So this is a controversial approach to dealing with eating the matzah at the end of the Seder. Okay, now what do you do with the afikomen? I find this, what do you do with the afikomen when the afikomen, with the afikomen? So there are people that are very superstitious. They like to take a little piece of the afikomen and they put it away as a shemira. They put it away as a school. They carry something they carry in their wallet, a little piece of the Afikum the whole year round. They have a piece of the Afikum in their wallet. They keep it in the house. I think in some shuls they have it hanging on the wall. The Afikum, someone's Afikum, it's hanging on the wall in the shul. I don't know. They believe it's a shmira. The truth is, there's something to it because matzah. I think I saw in Rabbi Shur. He develops this in more length. Matzah is Rosh Tevois, mezuzah, tzitzis, and matzos. And without the vav, matzos, not matzah. It's matzos. They have to say matzos tefillin. Tefillin. One day, the Torah says matzos teachel shivas hayamim. And one of the psukim with matzos is choser vav. So the way matzos, b'loshen rabim, is spelled is mem tzadi saf. Mem is the first letter of mezuzah. The second letter tzadi is tzitzis, and the tav tzos is tefillin. What do those three mitzvahs have in common? The fact that the only mitzvahs, these are this shmira. They represent shmira from a person. You go into the bayis. There's a mezuzah. The mezuzah is shomer the bayis. You dress. You walk in the street. What guards you? The isim also was the shmira to guard you from doing averos to tzitzis. Tefillin is something you put on your body to guard you, to protect you. These are three objects three mitzvahs which are used for shmira. Matzos, being that it has those letters, also to some degree is a shmira for Klal Yisrael, and somehow it evolved a minog to put away a piece of the matzah, the afikomen, in the home to serve as a reminder. You look at the matzah, you think about Pesach, you think about the Kedusha, Yimahara B'Shuvah, Natu Averos, it'll help you to get to the day. Is there something to it? I don't know. I never really was brought up with this. What? I guess that's more special. It's more of a reminder. Listen, I don't know. Okay, next topic. Where does Moshe Rabbeinu appear in the Haggadah? He does, right? Vayeminu v'Hashem Moshe Ardo. It's a big mistake. Moshe Rabbeinu appears in the Haggadah front and center. He appears in the Haggadah. It's more pronounced in the Haggadah than anything else in the Haggadah. Why do I say that? There's only one bracha that's really derived from the Haggadah, and that is Birchas HaMazon. And in fact, the Birchas HaMazon of the Haggadah is so unique because it's the only time when you're making Birchas HaMazon on a food that you mechuyev to eat min haTorah. V'achalta, it's a mitzvah de'oraisa the entire year around to make Birchas HaMazon. V'achalta v'sovata u'v'rach v'sashem elokecha. How did you put yourself in that situation when you have an obligation in a Torah to make a Birchas HaMazon? I ate latkes. I ate donuts. I ate a Shabbos meal. I ate pizza. Okay, very good. This doesn't say in the Torah you're mechuyev to eat pizza. It doesn't say you're mechuyev to have a Shabbos Suda. You had a Shabbos Suda. Very good. So v'achalta v'sevata, you've triggered an obligation now to recite Birchas HaMazon. The only time in the year when you have an obligation to eat food is Lel Seder. Matzos Teochel Shivas Hayim. You have an obligation to eat the matzah. Matzah, I don't remember the pasuk. You have to eat matzah Lel Seder. It's a mitzvah deraisa. A mitzvah deraisa to eat the matzah. And when you eat that matzah, you come into a state of sviyah, of yachalto v'sevata, and now that triggers an obligation to recite Birchas HaMazon. So you have to appreciate. When you are reciting Birchas HaMazon at the Seder, it's in a whole different league. It's not just that the Birchas HaMazon is a bracha that is deraisa, and there is no other bracha in the entire Haggadah that is deraisa, because every bracha, by definition, is only midrabanan. So you make seven brachas. You make seven brachas in the Haggadah on seven different things, but there is the only one that is deraisa is Birchas HaMazon. And what is unique is, well, how did I get here? What brought me to the obligation to recite the Birchas HaMazon as deraisa? It came upon me because I did another mitzvah, Achilo deoraisa. Who is the one who composed the first bracha of Birchas HaMazon? Moshe Rabbeinu. And for what did he compose it upon? On the man. Which man? We don't have man. Now think about this. Man, there was no man. On spiritual bread, do you even recite Birchas HaMazon on spiritual bread? Ugois shotziu mimitzrayim tamu bohem taman. There's a shaylof. We were living in the midbar. There's a real halach debate if we would even recite Birchas HaMazon on the man. What bracha do you make on the man? The bracha rishon, the bracha achrona. Some hold you make a moitzi lechem min hashamayim. Some say you make a shahakol. Some say you don't make any bracha at all. I think most places can say the man, there was no bracha. because it's lechem abirim. It's not physical food. It's something that's spiritual. It's not part of the shulchan aruch to make brachas. The same way you don't make a bracha rishayna on the man, there's a very big debate. There's a very strong argument that you don't make a brachas hamazoin on the man. So what then did Chazal mean when they said that Moshe Rabbeinu was mesakein brachas hamazoin on the man? What are you talking about? Who even says you make a bracha altogether on the man? The answer is no. What he means is Moshe was misaking the Bruchas Hamazon on the Ugois Matzois Shehoitziu Mimitzrayim Shetomu Bohem Tamon. This is a Mitzias. This is real flour and water. This is the real deal. It tasted like man, and Moshe was misaking to make Bruchas Hamazon. So this is the real deal. The Matzos that you read at the Seder, not only is it a Deraisa, which has come to us through another Deraisa, but it also has been composed by Moshe Rabbeinu specifically for the Matzos. And who is the composer? Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu, in a very significant way, appears in the Haggadah when you recite the first bracha of Birchas Hamazon. It's a very powerful thing not to take note of, and not to just say, oh, Moshe Rabbeinu, see you later. It's Hashem. Aniv loy malach, Moshe is not involved. Moshe is to a very great degree involved. He is an essential part of the Haggadah. Yes, it's a Gemara. It's a Gemara. Moshe Rabbeinu was misakin. Moshe was on the Birchas Hamazon. Yeshua was Noidelcha. Davru Shlomo was Uvnei Yerushalayim. And Biavne Hiskinu Hatoy Vehametiv. Okay, next topic. When do you drink the third cup? I'm asking you, when exactly do you drink the third kush al yayin? After benching. How does benching end by all of us? Hashem Yivorech Esamo Bashalom. Some have the custom that at the night of the Seder you drink the third cup when you finish Al Nichasreinu. First, you finish because it's a hefsek. Chazal were mesakein to recite the third kois Al Birchas Hamazon. Birchas Hamazon ends with the bracha of Al Nichasreinu. It is our custom. It is a beautiful custom. You cannot ignore to say the harachamans and all of the additional psukim that we append to the Birchas Hamazon. But that's not a chelik of the Ikka Birchas Hamazon. There are even some people, it's a secret, they don't even say that part of the benching. Okay, they're too lazy, they don't say that part of the benching, they just finish with Al Yichasreinu. So the Lel say there, since Chazal were mesakein the koitz al Birchas Hamazon, when Chazal were mesakein this takana, the harachamans did not yet exist. This came about at a much later point in time. So at least at the Seder, we should be machzir atara li yoishna, and we should recite amaitzi on the bracha of Yivori Priyagofen after you finish the Al Yechasreinu. And then, of course, you then say all of the harachamans. Now, don't try this at home. Okay, this is not the common minig, no, but it's something which the Argidele Yisrael, he cites here, in this Sefer Kilchos HaPesach, that was their custom, and it should be done. Okay, who gets benching? Normally the one that gets benching, you give the benching to a guest. But the Seder is different, the Balabais. That's a different, the Mishneh Berurah though, the Mishneh Berurah says the Balabais can give it away, no problem. It's an interesting idea, what is that all about? Why Dafka Shulchan Aruch is makbid? No, it should be Dafka the Balabais, not enough. Important halacha, a woman, if a woman forgets to say Yale V'yavo, on Yom Tif night, Shavuos, Sukkos, does a woman have to repeat benching? No. If a man forgets to say Yalla V'yavo on Yom Tif, he must repeat benching, but not a woman, because a woman it's a mitzvah she'azman grama. She has technically no obligation to have a su'udas Yom Tif. She's makbid to have a su'udas Yom Tif. It's very, very nice, but not to the degree where she would be required to repeat the Birchas Hamazon if she forgets to say Yalla V'yavo. What about the Lel Seder? That is the exception. If a woman forgets to say Yalla V'yavo at the Lel Seder, she must repeat the benching because she is mechuyev to eat matzah, just like a man. Hukash, we compare chametz to matzah, so that's an important halacha. She must repeat the benching. But by the way, I want to just go back another to the quick halacha, very interesting halacha. Second day Yom Tif has many halachas that are very unique. What happens on the second day Yom Tif if you first eat the matzah, you're delayed? Let's talk about the first night Pesach. There's a delay. Come back from shul, there's an emergency, you have to go somewhere. And by the time you get back home, Hatzolah member, he goes on Hatzolah call, by the time he gets back home, it's already past Chatzah, it's already 2 o'clock in the morning. So he did not yet eat the matzah. He didn't eat matzah yet. He didn't make the bracha, al-achilas matzah. The matzah is replaced Karm Pesach. Does he make, of course he makes all the brachas. Just because it's after Chatzos, you rely upon the Chachamim who hold that the Zman, achilas matzah, matzah's hukash to Pesach, al-matzah's umerorim yochluhu. So we rely upon the Chachamim. You can make the bracha of al-achilas matzah even after Chatzos. What about the second night of Pesach? Ask a busy Hatzolah member. Unfortunately, they're very busy at the stage of the Hatzolah people. They have a lot of emergencies. What happens if on the second night of Pesach, before the Seder begins, there is an emergency, and he goes on a call, and he first comes back at 2 o'clock in the morning, and he did not yet eat from the matzah? There are opinions who hold that he may not make a bracha of al-achilas matzah. Sfeik sfeika. First of all, who says we passing like the Chachamim? Maybe we passing like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that the Zman Achilas Matzah only goes until Chatzos. And even if we passing like the Shita of the Chachamim, that it goes until Alos HaShachar, but who says today is Yom Tov? It's Sfeika D'Yoma. The only reason why you're observing a second day Yom Tov is because of Sfeika D'Yoma. So it's a Sfeika. So therefore, you're not allowed to make the bracha of al-achilas matzah, and for that matter, all of the other brachas after chatzos. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a chiddush? That's a very big chiddush. He brings that down, but of course, that is not lahalacha. Not lahalacha, you can do it. Sveik, so that's a whole different sveik. Okay, that's tuma. That's a whole different world. Okay, well, can I just do two quick things? We'll stop. Just halachic. This is a very interesting halachic dilemma. What happens if you forget to say that you drink the fourth cup of wine, and after you drink the fourth cup of wine, you make the bracha ala halagefen? Right, we drink the fourth cup of wine, and then we make ala gefen, ala pregefen, and you forget to say the samcheinu biyoyim chag hamatzos hazeh. Do you have to repeat the bracha me'ein shalosh? Do you have to repeat the ala halagefen? So the answer is no. You never repeat in Al HaGefen or Al HaMichya where you forget to say Shabbos or Yom Tov. Question, why not? You're mechuyif to drink the fourth cup of wine. Just like we said a moment ago that when a woman has to repeat Birchas HaMazon if she forgets to say Yalla V'Yavai. What? So even though it's the Rabbanan, there's a chiv, there's an obligation. The Raya said Rabbanan shouldn't really make a difference. This is a very tough question. If you want to make an analogy between, there should be a very strong analogy between the Birchas al. This happens to people, right? They finish the fourth cup, they just, on autopilot, and they spit an al hagefen, and they don't look inside, and they forget to say, v'samcheinu b'yom chag hamatzah sazeh. L'chayre, you should have to repeat the al hagefen. Just like we required a woman to repeat the benching because she's mechuyev to eat matzah, you are mechuyev to eat the drink, the fourth cup of wine. It's a very tough question, la halacha, so don't forget to say v'samcheinu. Halacha l'maisa, the poskim say you should not. Why? I don't really understand. They split hairs. They split hairs between matzah and between matzah, like maybe we're saying it's deraisa, between the four cups of wine. I don't really have a feel that splitting hairs. Try to think about this question. Why should there really be a difference? It's a very tough question, and the only thing you have to be careful is not to make this mistake and make sure you say v'samcheinu and not to go on autopilot. One last thing, we'll stop, and that is shvei chamaskal. We open the door. Why do we open the door when we recite shvei chamaskal? So the simplest reason is because we went to look out. This minhag developed in the Middle Ages when there was blood libels, a proliferation of blood libels. That's the pshat, the reason, that's the reason they were doing horrible things. And when the seder is over, you have to, you know, shmira, you got to go outside to make sure everything is okay. They shouldn't be making trouble for us. It's interesting. Now, by the way, think about it. This is just like drush on top of drush. Why are there blood libels? So what does the Ulba Gedol Yisrael say? It's the most bizarre thing. We take blood of a guy and put in our matzah? Come on. Where did this come from? So they say it's a punishment for Mechiras Yosef. Mechiras Yosef, Vayitvelu es hakesonis badom, so Hashem is reminding us you need kapara. It is interesting that the Haggadah begins with a reminder of Karpas. Karpas somehow related to the kesonis pasim. Okay, Karpas has the same letters of Kesenis. I forgot how it goes. But Karpas is also we dip the Karpas in salt water. It's a reminder. Karpas is related to the word Kesenis. Pasim, it's nutrikin. Kesoines pasim, dipping in salt water is a reminder of our chait of mechiras Yosef. And when the seder is over, come out. When the seder is over, we come to shvecha mascha. We also have to be reminded of mechiras Yosef. And what is mechiras Yosef? Sinas chinam. So the seder begins with a polite reminder. Watch out for sinas chinam. It ends with a polite reminder of sinas chinam. Okay, another very popular idea why we open the door is because it's let's go back to Lot. When Lot was escaped from Sodom, the Malach said to Lot, "Don't look backwards." What's the pasuk? Al tabed achara. Achara, do not look behind you. Why not? You do not deserve to be saved. It's not in your merit. It's only in the merit of Avram Avinu. Therefore, you have no right to witness the destruction of your enemies. When the Seder is over, it's Shvecha Mascha, we're now praying for the destruction of our enemies. But when Mashiach comes, it's not like Lot. We're going to earn the Geula, we're going to deserve to see the Churban of our enemies. So you Bedafka, open up the door, go outside, and take a good look. Unlike Lot and his wife who were told, don't look behind you because you don't deserve to see the Churban. When we say, we're going outside, we're going to see exactly what's going on outside. Another drush, I always like to go back to this, is the first time we find in the Torah the word deles is by Lot. We discussed this many times. Lot was a judge, and Lot, what did he do when the Malachim came to visit? He protected them. Vayiskar hadeles ba'ado. We find something similar by Noach.
Noach.
No, hadeles. It doesn't say deles. Not by the teva.
I'm sorry. By Lot, it's hadeles sugar acharov.
By the teva, it doesn't say deles. Vayiskar ba'ado.
Yeah.
There's no deles.
Right.
It just says Hashem vayiskar ba'adoi. But Hashem closed the teva by. The word deles does not appear by the teva. The first time the word deles appears is by Lot. Lot took the door, the Malachim came, he protected them, he closed the door. The Torah emphasized that he closed the door, there's something to it. The Torah goes through the effort and telling us they closed the door. Wow, Lot did something very noble. He did what he's supposed to, he took the door. From where does Mashiach come?
Yehuda,
but go back a couple of generations. Now, Haggadah, we go back to Terach. We go back to Terach. The Mashiach really comes from Lot. Right? Lot's
right.
Two daughters. Lot is where the zera of Mashiach comes. Lot, why was he zaycha? The Lot from Lot should come Mashiach. Not so pashit. Lot did something very noble.
He kept quiet, but sorry.
He kept. That's why you would say. But the highest praise you can argue. This is drush. You can argue the highest praise the Torah gives Lot is his zuchus, vayiskar hadeles. How's the pasuk? Vayiskar
hadeles
sagar acharav. That was the Malach.
Yeah,
that was
Malach.
No. But first it says that he went and he closed the door. It's a big schus.
Yes, Adela Sodoro.
When we are mispalul for Mashiach, Shefei Chamos El Hagoyim, Be'al HaMochos, it's the end of the Seder. Now also Eliyahu Navi is coming, right? This is the time when Eliyahu Navi comes. We open the door. The focus is the door. Because the door is the zuchus of Lot. And Lot, from Lot, is Mashiach. You can't deny that. Lot's not part of Klal Yisrael. Let's not get carried away here, okay? We're not carried with Terach and Lot, who did a terrible aver with his two daughters, v'chul, which he was guilty. The second one was guilty. We're not getting carried away over here. But in the Haggadah, you know, we really delve down into the Shoroshim, into the roots. We have Terach. You can't deny Terach is in the Haggadah. It's bizarre, right? Terach, Avi Avram, he makes honorable mention. All of a sudden, where did he come from, Terach? From all places, he comes to the Haggadah. He's singing at the Haggadah, Terach. Lot's also there. You know, he's there. We don't give him too much credit. The door. Open up the door. When you open up the door, that triggers a memory. We were locked in. Now the door is open. Who's the balabas on the door? The balabas on the door is Lot. Lot is Mashiach. He is the roots of Mashiach. This is what we're yearning for when the Seder comes to an end. All right. Mi'eretz Hashem, we'll pick up more tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.
Yes, Gadal, yes, Gadash, Shemay Rabbah.
Amen.
Give all the brothers, save up the father and say,